Okay, Shem Yisrael, Parshas Shmini, Parshas Para, Tavshinayin Vav. In this week's Parsha, we learn about Kashrus. Perek Yud Aleph of Sefer Vayikra is dedicated to the laws of Kashrus. And we know there are various animals that the Torah identifies. The Torah gives us klalim of how to identify kosher or non-kosher animals. And then the Torah also gives us specific examples of kosher and non-kosher animals. The Medrash links the description of the non-kosher animals to the exiles of history. What exile are we currently in? We're in Golas Edom. Okay? Golas Edom corresponds to the pig. But the Medrash points out something very interesting. It says the Shem Yishmo. The Medrash Rabbah in this week's Parsha, Malchus HaRavias. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish commented. Rav Yochanan Amar Sheshkula Kishlashtam. The Malchus, the final exile, is going to be equal to the first three. So that means if you put together all of the pain and suffering and hardship, both Baruch Nias and Begashmias, that took place in Bavel, Parasumadai, and Yavan, what's happening in the world today in Edom is equal to all three of those very dark tkufas in Jewish history. Reish Lakish Amar Yisera Mishlashta. What we're going through now is worse. Is bigger. This one exile is bigger and worse than all of the three previous exiles. Now we don't count Mitzrayim as an exile. If you're thinking in terms of Chodesh Nisan, Mitzrayim is the Shoresh of all Galus. We talk about the four Galus. We talk about Bavel, Madai, or maybe Parasu Madai, and then Yavan. And then the Galus we're in today, which is Galus Edom. So Galus Edom, says Rabbi Yochanan, is equal to the other three. Reish Lakish says it's worse than the other three. V'alkein shlashta nirmezu b'pasuk echad. V'daniel ra'o son b'layla echad. V'revius b'pasuk echad b'fnei atzmo. V'daniel ra'o so b'layla echad b'fnei atzmo. Says the Medrash, this explains why the Torah describes three of the non-kosher animals. It describes three of the non-kosher animals together and then one separately. I think that's what it's referencing. In Daniel's dream, Daniel has several dreams in Sefer Daniel. Daniel sees three of the exiles as being alluded to by different animals. He sees them all together. And the fourth one he sees separate. So the fact that this fourth, the way that the Torah and the way that the Psukim in Sefer Daniel describe this fourth exile as sort of standing on its own, led Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish to believe that it's at least as big as the other three, if not bigger than the other three. Okay. So he quotes his father, the Avnei Nezer, V'amar kvod kedushas avi ad mor zatzal. Dekemo bekedusha midas emes mavricha min akotze al akotze, kein lehefech midas hasheker mavricha beklipa min akotze al akotze. The fourth exile, which is Galus Edom, who is called Edom in the Torah? Esav. So it really comes back and it highlights the essential difference between us and them. Between the world of Yaakov, of Yisrael, and the world of Esav. We're going back to really to the root of all battles, Yaakov and Esav. Battling in the womb, and then battling outside the womb till Mashiach comes. Emes, Shem Yishmuel says from his father, is a midah that's all-encompassing. Sheker, in Tumah, is a midah that's all-encompassing. And therefore, Galus Edom, in Tumah, is going to be all-encompassing compared to all the other exiles. And the emes with which we have to live our lives today has to also be an all-encompassing emes in order to fight back. Esav, he says right after it's underlined, who's sheker. Esav is the shoresh of all lies. Amalek comes from Esav. That's a very big lie. Esav, his deception, his trickery in relating to his father, was a very big lie. So Esav is the source of sheker in the world. As the Medrash says, Hashav Shebarasi Ba'olami. Esav is the lashon of Shav. You're worthless. Sheker is worthless. Amalek has to be destroyed. The whole world of sheker has no substance to it. As opposed to Emes, which is the most essential substance of all. Yaakov versus Esav. And therefore, what does the pig do? The pig tells a big lie. What's the lie that the pig, which corresponds to Edom, tells? Poshe telafav umarashutar. The pig extends its hooves and pretends that it's pure, because it has split hooves. V'tumaso b'fnim, but it doesn't chew its cud. On the inside, it's a big lie. The same way that Esav, superficially, was a big rebbe. He had Yitzchak fooled. But on the inside, Rivka grew up in a house of liars. She knew how to identify a liar. She knew Esav was a phony. Alkein u'mavriach es kol shlashton o'od yaser mishlashton. So since Edom and Klal Yisrael at the end of days are battling over Emes, over the Nekuda of Emes, therefore it's not surprising if you understand that Emes is an all-encompassing midah. It's not at all surprising that Galus Edom is going to be an all-encompassing Galus. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying. Yeah.
When you say all-encompassing, does that mean Emes?
Okay, so we'll see. We're going to have to flesh that out. Why is Emes, like, so to speak, the midah?
Well, what is it?
That is all encompassing.
All of the
needles? Well, let me explain it. Let's explain it beside the klipa for a second, yeah? What causes a person to be detached from this world? Mishnah Pirkei Avos, anyone know? What causes a person to be detached from this world? There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says these three things will cause you to be detached from reality. Your life will be sheker. Kina. Taiva and Kavod. Hakina va'taiva kavod motzianas adam min ha'olam. If you immerse yourself in the world of kina, of jealousy, of taiva, of kavod, of seeking honor, you have no sheikhus in this world. You enter the base medrash of who? Of Esav and the base medrash of Amalek, and you need to be destroyed. That's why the Sfar HaKadoshim point out that the gematria of sheker is 600, which is exactly the same gematria as Kina, 156, plus Taiva, 412, plus Kavod, 32. Kina, Taiva, Kavod is Gematria Sheker. Because if you immerse yourself, if that's what you're chasing, then your life is a lie. And Motzianas Adam Min HaOlam, you're so detached from the Olam of Emes, and you live in the Alma de Shikra, which is the language that the Svarim HaKadoshim used to describe this world. An Alma de Shikra. A world that's one big lie. And therefore, the essential Jewish trait to survive in this world is what? Is to be amistic. Is to be real. Okay?
Is Emes the same gematria as Chesed?
It's a good question. Emes, there are beautiful Ramazim about the word Emes. But we'll see. We'll see some of them. Okay? Good? Now, I was thinking also, that number, Sheker, being 600, right? We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, that the Torah from beginning to end is Hashem's name. Who tells us that? The Ramban in his Hakdamah Chumash. That the Torah in its entirety is made up of Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one big name of Hashem, which makes sense. The name of a person is their essence. And the Torah is Hashem expressing, so to speak, His essence. And therefore the Torah in its entirety is the name of Hashem. I told you once in the past, I think that's the Pshat, in Shemona Esrei. When we say Ata Kadosh, B'Shimcha Kadosh, Ukdoshim b'chol yom yaluchasela. Right? Ata kadosh, you are holy. That's you, Hashem, kuchabrichu. Shimcha kadosh, your name is the Torah. So Hashem, the Torah, and ukdoshim b'chol yom yaluchasela. That's Klal Yisrael, the ones who praise you. So that's kuchabrichu Yisrael v'raisachadu, like it says in the Zohar. That Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. So Shimcha is a code word for what? For Hashem's Torah. Because the Torah from beginning to end, says the Ramban, is the name of Hashem. So I was thinking, If we know from the end of Parshas B'Shalach that Amalek comes and they attack Hashem's name. How does Amalek attack Hashem's name at the end of Parshas B'Shalach? Ki yad al kes ka. That Amalek places their hands on the throne of ka, of yud and hey. Right? What letters did Amalek steal away? They stole away the letters of vav and hey. Hashem's name is incomplete. Chazal say, Rashi says, Hashem's name and his kisei are incomplete until we destroy Amalek. Because Amalek stole the aleph from kisei, kiyad al kes. Kes, kisei minus the aleph. Kes, ka. Right? Kisei is lacking the aleph, and yurke vavke, Hashem's full name, is lacking the vav hei. So Amalek stole the vav hei from Hashem's name. Chavri, you with me? Amalek stole the vav hei from Hashem's name. Yeah. Again, we established that Hashem's name is one with the Torah. Right? That's what the Ramban tells us. The whole Torah, from beginning to end, is the name of Hashem. That's what Ramban says in his Akdamah to Chumash. Ata Kadosh, v'Shimcha Kadosh. Shimcha is the name of Hashem, is the Torah. Okay? In the end of Parshas B'Shalach, a Malek comes, and the Pasuk says, Ki Yad Al Kes Yah. Yah Yudin Hei. Kisei is lacking the Aleph. It just says Kes. Chav Samach. There's no Aleph. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's full name, is lacking the Vav and the Hei. It just says Kes Ka. They took away the Aleph from Kisei, and they took away the Vav Hei from Hashem's name. Okay, and therefore Melcham al Hashem b'Malek midor dor. So Chazal say Hashem's throne, his kisei, and his name will not be complete until we destroy Amalek, until we get back the missing letters. They destroyed Hashem's name. Amalek is ruining Hashem's name. They took the vav hay away from yud kei vav kei. But however, we just said Hashem's name also means what? Hashem's Torah. Hashem's Torah is his name. So however, what happens if you take away the vav hay from the word Torah? What happens if you take away the vav hay from the word Torah? What are you left with? Tav resh, which is 600. You're left with sheker. Sheker is 600. You're left with kinatay v'kavach. So when Amalek steals the vav hay, they're not only stealing it from yud kei vav kei, that aspect of Hashem's name, they're also taking away the vav hay, the osios of Hashem's name that give the Torah its chiyus. And if Torah doesn't have its chiyus, it's just tav resh. It could be Torah's sheker instead of a Torah's emes. A person could think that they're learning Torah, but it's really only because of Kina and Taiva and Kavod. You can learn Torah for all the wrong reasons. Like the Gemara says in Yoma, Torah could be a Sam HaMisa. It could be poison if you misuse it. So I think the Pshat is, a Malek takes away the Vav Hei from Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but they also take away the Vav Hei from Hashem's name, quote unquote, right? The name of Hashem being the Torah. If you take away the Vav Hei from Torah, you're left with Tav Resh, which is 600, which is Sheker, which is Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. Yeah, right. So the Gemara says in Erevin on Daf Yuches that we're able to survive. The world can go on with Chatzi Shem. Dai la'olamo v'chatzi Shem. The world can make it with half a name. Kol neshama tal ka haluka. We can make it with ka, with just yud and hay. But yeah, Hashem's presence is concealed. The reason we walk down the street and we don't see Hashem's full presence is because Hashem's presence is not allowed to express itself fully because of the sheker of Alma Deshikra.
Did Moshe see Hashem?
Moshe saw Hashem?
Sure.
I don't know, did he? Saw something. But more or less, Hashem, the real answer to Moshe's question, Har'eini Nas Kvodecha, let me see your kavod, let me see your essence, let me see who you are, Hashem. Hashem says, Lo Yer'eini Aldem V'cha, you can't see me. I saw maybe the back of his tefillin, whatever that means. Okay, but the bottom line is that Hashem's name and his presence and his expression in this world is limited because of a Malek. Okay, Shem Yishmuel concludes by saying, if you look in the Shabbos Miros, Shabbos morning, In the long zemer that I don't know too many people who sing, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, right? Some people say the part of Bevao Me'edom, Chamutz Begadim, Mashal Shura. Some people have that part. But he says, if you look over there, it's interesting. You'll notice it goes through the various exiles, and it mentions each of the first three exiles in a single paragraph, and then there are three paragraphs about Edom. Why does Edom get three paragraphs? The answer is because Edom is all-encompassing. And the reason that we highlight that on Shabbos is because Shabbos is our time where we come back to a Nakuda of MS, where a Jew is more emistic with himself. Where he gets away from the Alma de Shikra, the kin of the Taiv and the Kavod of Olam Hazeh, he leaves the world of Esav, and he becomes a Yaakov. Titein MS li Yaakov. He comes back to the place that he belongs. And therefore on Shabbos, we highlight this return to MS, and he concludes, the Shem Yishmuel concludes by saying, that's why the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches, if we would just keep one Shabbos, then no nation could start up with us. Because if we're emistic, then Edom can't start up with us, and Edom is an all-encompassing exile. So that means no one can start up with us. This is the chashivas of the all-encompassing Midah, right, that goes min ha-kotza la-kotza, from end to end, the Midah of Emes. Turn to page 2. Let's go weiter in this sugya of Yaakov and Esav for a minute. Because when Yaakov and Esav are born, Shem Yishmuel told us that Esav is the lashon of shav, hevel avalim, worthlessness, nothingness. But you'll notice, Baal Shem Tov's grandson in the Degel Machaneh Ephraim, Parshas told us, has a beautiful ha'ara. I'm so happy. I just found this recently, and it was just in time for this year. It was mamash very big simcha in finding this source. Vayikru shemo Esav. You ever notice? They called him Esav, and he called him Yaakov. They called him Lashon Rav and Esav, and he called him Yaakov. What's the pshat? Says it told us Yaakov Yosef. The fourth line where it's bracketed. V'yesh lomar derech remes. Al derech hamedrish and izkar le'el. She Esav hu shav v'sheker v'hu shemerames ha'posuk v'yikru'u. What's v'yikru'u? Obviously it means to be called, but it also means to be drawn after. Lashon hamshacha v'asifa. Of being drawn after gathering. Vayikru. Many people are drawn after Esav. Most people are happy living a lie. They're happy if they can get a little kinah and a little taiva and a little kavod, and that keeps their life interesting enough for them. Where do we find, by the way, that this lashon of kriya is lashon of asifa? Can anyone think of an example? I thought of one this morning during davening. In Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov is ready to give the brachos, what does the pasuk say? It says, Yaakov called to his sons, and he said what? He said, gather around. Vayikra Yaakov Abana v'yomar, hey asfu, hey asfu. So kriya and asifa go together. When I call someone, I'm gathering them in. Okay? So look what he says here. So Vayikru is the lashon of hamshach of asifa. That pasuk is in Parak Mem Tes, pasuk Aleph, the pasuk I just referenced in Vayechi. So vayikru lashon hamshach v'asifa. Haynu sherov hamon nimshachem achar hasheker v'ashav. The masses lashon rabim the tzibur, the world at large is going to be drawn after the world of sheker. Aval itzel Yaakov, which is the mid of emes, titen emes to Yaakov. What does it say? Vayikra, singular. Because you have to be a real yachid to be an emesic person. You have to be a person who's not gonna be swallowed up by public desire and public opinion. We are that ma'at min ha'at of planet Earth. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us later in the Torah that we're the ma'at mikol ha'amim, we're this ma'at. We're that tiny portion of the nearly 8 billion people on planet Earth that every one of us can be. Shayach to the world of Yaakov, to the Vayikra Yaakov, right? In the Lashon Yachid, Vayikra Shemo Yaakov, where my name can be truly Yaakov, where I can live a life of Emes, where I can align myself with Titi and Emes Li Yaakov. Who else is connected to this Midah of Emes?
Moshe.
Moshe Emes, Vesaraso Emes. Are Yaakov and Moshe connected to one another?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Zabzak? Okay, Jojo Paskins. Kedarka v'kaidish. Apsak, the Yaakov and Emes are Yaakov and Moshe are connected. The Zohar says the Yaakov and Moshe are the inside and the outside of one idea. Milabar and Milagav. The inside and outside track of Emes are represented by Yaakov and Moshe. So let's go weiter, just one step, and show how Yaakov and Moshe bring out this aspect of Emes in a beautiful way. Yeah. Yeah, Vayikra is Lashon Yachid. So what the Tzolos Yaakov Yosef is saying is there will be Yechidim who are aligned with the name of Yaakov. While Vayikra'u in the plural, Esav. Because most people are going to be happy to be gathered into the world of Esav, the Almud the Shikra. But only a Yachid, only a few people, Lashon Yachid, Vayikra, only a few people are going to align themselves and feel that they want to be called by the name of Yaakov. That they want to walk in the ways of Titin Emes Li Yaakov. That's only for Yechidei Segula.
But like when a person knows that he himself is like a yachid, he's different. Like he knows that he's part of a nam, but like when he's able to rest.
Yeah, within, of course, within. Of, yeah, everyone has to uncover his. Klal Yisrael are the kuda of emes within the world. But then within Klal Yisrael, you have to find your emes. Absolutely. A person has to identify his nekuda of emes inside himself. Yeah?
Can you define a little better, like, what's this emes we're talking about here?
What is this emes that we're talking about here? What do you think it is?
I don't know exactly.
What does it mean to live a truthful life?
What do you mean by that?
Well, to start, kinah, taiva, kavod. Am I able to be who I am without being jealous of others? Am I able to live a life of meaning without chasing after taiva? Am I able to feel good about myself without constantly receiving kavod or chasing after honor? To be amistic, to not steal, to not cheat, to not say one thing and feel something else in your heart. To not be echad b'peh, echad b'lev. Whatever you think, whatever simple definition you want to give to being a liar. It should be for everyone, of course it should be. But again, going back to the origin of this Galus Edom, you have Esav, whose whole life is one big lie of tricking Yitzchak. You have Amalek, right, who is also the embodiment of that sheker that needs to be destroyed. And our world is Yaakov. And the Navi identifies Titein Emes LeYaakov. That's our world. So we have to try to be emistic in all of its meanings. In not cheating on your test. In not stealing. In not saying something if you don't mean it. Everything that emis represents. To be a wholesome Jew all the way through. Okay? Turn to page 3. The Sefer Vayitzbor Yosef. What's the Vayitzbor Yosef? Rav Yosef of Kosin. Once again, we reference Tzvi Teitelbaum, Shlita, who's a Kassaner Chassid. He davens by the Kassan based Medrash in Mansig. Vayitzbor Yosef. Now, if you never heard of Vayitzbor Yosef, maybe you'll remember that Chanukah time, we brought a couple of beautiful teachings from a sefer called the B'nai Shleishim. B'nai Shleishim is the same author. That's who this is. Rav Yosef of Kassan. So in the back of the B'nai Shleishim, there's a section called the Vayitzbor Yosef. Vayitzbor Yosef is based on the Pasuk in Parshas Miketz when Yosef gathered grain because Mitzrayim was undergoing a famine. His name was Yosef, so he called the Sefer Vayitzbor Yosef. These are the gatherings of Yosef. Okay, look what he writes here in the back of the Sefer. In the Shar Ma'amari Chazal. Amru Chazal. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Kushta Kai. Kushta Kai. MS lasts. Kushta means truth. MS stands. Kushta Kai. So he says, Besod Partsuf Tat Bechinas Emes LeYaakov UMoshe MiLagav. He says, Kushta Kai, Emes stands, Emes lasts. We're on page 3. Besod Partsuf Tat. This is somehow connected to the Mida of Tat, which is Tiferes. Yaakov, we know, is Tiferes. Chesed Gvura Tiferes. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Yaakov is Tiferes. Titein Emes LeYaakov. And Moshe is the inner track, so to speak, of Yaakov. Moshe is Milagav, the inside track of Yaakov. And therefore, says Rav Yosef of Kosin, Kushta Kai is Gematria Yaakov plus Moshe. Truth stands. If you align yourself with Yaakov and Moshe, Titein Emes LeYaakov, Moshe Emes, Visarasso Emes, Kushta Kai. He says, Shemati B'Shem Zekeni, Rabbeinu Tzvi Zatzal. Sod Amram Kutchabrichu V'araisi Yisrael Kulachad. We mentioned a moment ago that the Zohar writes in Parshas Achrei Mos that Hashem, the Torah, and Klal Yisrael are one. What does that mean? He says, Shakavana al parts of Tat. This is the idea of Tiferes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tiferes. I don't know what that means. And the Torah and the Jewish people are also Tiferes. Arkan Shemati. Not sure exactly what he's saying. But he brings a beautiful remez at the end. He says, the three-pronged, or the three-ply cord of truth in this world is Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people. He told us, in terms of specific personalities, Yaakov plus Moshe is Gematria Kushta Kai, truth stands. But he says, Kai, it stands, it has Kiyom, it's everlasting. Kai, he says in the last line, is Rashi Tevos, Kutchubrichu, Oraisa, and Yisrael. The three-ply cord of truth. Hashem, His Torah, and the Jewish people. Kushta Kai. And that's why, Titein Emes LeYaakov, what do we know about Emes? Emes is eternal, right? Nitzchi, Torah's Emes. The Torah is eternal. It's an eternal truth. That's why the Gemara says in Maseches Tanis that Yaakov Avinu Lomes. Right? Yaakov Lomes. Yaakov never died, the Gemara says. There's an opinion in Sota at the end of the first parak that Moshe also never died. Because if you're MS, you last forever. Who built the Mishkan? Moshe. Who was responsible for the Mishkan? Okay, you'll say, Bezalel. Right? But the Mishkan was Moshe's Mishkan, as opposed to the Beis HaMikdash, let's say. The Mishkan was never destroyed. The Gemara says the Mishkan was hidden away because it was built by Moshe. Anything Moshe touches is eternal, lasts forever. Because he's Netzach. He's Nitzchias. And therefore, if you're Mekusher to Yaakov, you're Mekusher to Moshe, you're connected to the Kud of Emes. That's why Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter writes in V'nichta B'sefer, but others far and bring it also. And Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, in his V'nichta B'sefer, in the first volume, on page 95, he says, Emes Liyakov, if you move around the letters, what do you get? Emes Liyakov could also be Yaakov Lo Mace. Same letters. Emes Liyakov, Titan, Emes Liyakov. Emes Liyakov is the same letters as Yaakov Lo Mace. Because if you're connected to Emes, you're connected to that which never dies. It lasts forever. Kush Dakai. Be an Emesic person. I want to just show you some Ramazim to bring out this idea, to show you that our Torah is absolutely Emes through and through. Why does the Torah, a question the Rishonim already asked, why does the Torah start with the letter Beis? Why doesn't the Torah start with the letter Aleph? So you'll tell me, the Torah does start with the letter Aleph. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Okay, we'll come back to that. But why does the Torah begin with the Beis of Bereishis? Why doesn't the Torah begin with Aleph? So there's a comment that we find both from the Rebbe Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh L'Vracha, and also someone who we spent a lot of time learning about before Purim, Rav Shimshon Meastropoli. There's a sefer called, a contemporary sefer called Chaim Shel Torah. They bring it from Rav Yonis and Eibshitz. You have it on page 4. Rav Yonis and Eibshitz was addressing the question, why does the Torah begin with the letter Beis? The Rishonim, the Rashba already had dealt with this question. It's a question that we have to ask. Why does the Torah begin with Aleph? So Rav Yonis and Eibshitz, the Rebbe Rabbi Yonison, we always call him the Rebbe Rabbi Yonison. You know that? There are certain people who call them the Rebbe Reb. Right? Like the Rebbe Reb Melech. The Rebbe Reb Melech. Certain people, we call them the Rebbe Reb. Right? The Rebbe Rabbi Yonison. That's a chashuv title that certain tzaddikim were zocha to. Why? I'm not exactly sure, but that's how it is. The Rebbe Rabbi Yonison Eibshitz. So listen to what he says. He says, Emes and Sheker are mamish opposites. He says, take a look on page 4. Emes in Mispar Katan. Emes in Mispar Katan is 9. Sheker in Mispar Katan is 6. Everyone remember what Mispar Katan is? You take a number, you bring it down to the ones column. If that sounds like a strange idea, I can show you good sources to help you believe that it's not some silly thing. Okay, but Emes in Mispar Katan, Aleph is 1, Mem is 4, Tav instead of 400 is 4, is 9. Sheker is 312, is 6. I saw in a sefer called Tiv HaParsha that you'll even notice that 9 and 6 are mamash opposites. The way we draw 9, the way we draw 6 are opposites. But what's the pshat? Why does the Torah start with the letter Beis? So look what Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz said. He says, we have a tradition that on each day of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought forth 3 letters. So if the Torah starts with the letter Beis, that means the first day was Beis Gimel Dalet. The second day was Hei Vav Zayin. The third day was Ches Tes Yod. Take a look at the list. You see it? If you start from Beis, every day the 3 letters you bring out in Mispar Katan will be 9. Emes, 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 Emes. If you start from Aleph, on the bottom half of the page, if you do Aleph, Beis, Gimel, that's 6. Dalet, Hei, Vav, Mispar Katan, that's 6. Zayin, Ches, Tes, Mispar Katan, that's 6. So if you start from Aleph, every 3 letters that come out on each day of creation, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is building His world, it's Sheker, Sheker, Sheker. Now, it is an Almud de Shikra, but Hashem wants us to know that we can live with Emes. We can live with Emes. And therefore, woven into the Bria itself is what? Is the Chosno Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the seal of Hashem, which the Gemara says in Shabbos Nun Hei, is the seal of truth. And therefore, the Torah starts with the letter Beis. So that way, each bit of the Bria has within it the potential to be used for Emes. Of course, when the Sfarim call this world an Almud de Shikra, that's because most of us use it, and we fall into the Sheker of this world. But this world is Emes. The world is Emes. There is Emes to be extracted from this world, if a person is willing to see it in that way. And Kadosh Baruch Hu set us up in that way, yeah. You don't know what's going on here. Do you understand what Mispar Katan is? You take a letter, and you bring it down to the single digit. So if Resh is 200, so you make it into 2.
What are they doing like for Yom Sheni?
So each day of creation, 3 letters of the of the Hebrew alphabet emerged. So that means the first day Beis, Gimel, and Dalet were the letters that Hashem created.
Yeah.
On the second day of creation, Hey, Vav, and Zayin, the next three letters of the Aleph Beis emerged. On the third day of creation, Ches, Tes, and Yud. What?
18, 1, 8.
Why
do they add up to 18, 1, 8, 9, 18?
Why? Because you have to, I don't know. You have to bring everything back down. That's what he's, I don't know.
And everything has to go back.
This is Rabbi Yonison Haibshitz's Ramis. I see what you're saying. Why? 18, right. Why are you adding? You're adding 1 and 8. I guess you're constantly, right? It's a reboy of Mispar Katan. You're always bringing it down to the lowest thing. I mean, you can see what he's doing.
Yeah, I get it. Like,
you're always bringing it down to the lowest. You're trying to bring it down to its most simple form.
Right,
this is the Ramez. This is the Ramez. Take it or leave it. You might like it, you might not like it. It's okay. If you start with Aleph, look at the bottom of the page. If you start with Aleph, Beis, Gimel, second day, Dalet, Vav, third day, Zayin, Ches, Tes, then each day is producing 6. And 6 is the Mispar Katan of Sheker. So every day is producing Sheker. If you start from Beis, then every day is producing 9, which is Mispar Katan of Emes. What? Because look what it produces. Aleph, Beis, Gimel is 6, which is...
Aleph was created.
What is
it?
No, the Mispar Katan of Sheker and Emes. Emes is 9.
No, I get how it works out mathematically.
Yeah.
What is the significance of... Like,
name is
the Aleph, like how it's...
The Rav Yonasan Aipshitz is explaining, it would have been more obvious for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to start with the letter Aleph.
But it doesn't because...
And it doesn't. Why? Why does the Torah begin with the letter Beis? So he's just giving us a rabbis. He's saying because we have this tradition that each day of creation three letters were being created, or emerging, so to speak. And if we start creating from Aleph, Beis, Gimel on day one, Dalet, Hey, Vav on day two... Then you're gonna be producing Sheker, Sheker, Sheker.
What?
And Hashem wanted to produce Emes, 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 because the seal of Hashem is Emes. He wanted to stamp this world each day with Emes. Alright, take it or leave it, Chevra. We're running out of time here. Let's go weiter. Let's go weiter. So when was Aleph created? That's a good question. Where does Aleph end up? I don't know. This is what the Rebbe, Rabbi Yonasan Haibshitz, said. Again, he's called the Rebbe Reb, so he must know what he's talking about. Rav Shimshon Astropoli, who died al Kiddush Hashem in the 1600s, says the same Remez. So again, chaver, take it or leave it. If you like it, great. If not, turn to page 5. Okay, another Remez, just to show you that when Hashem was building the world, he was building a world, at least the Torah of the world, is a Torah's Emes. It's very interesting. The Maharal had a brother whose name was Chaim. Rav Chaim ben Rav Basalo, the brother of the Maharal of Prague. He wrote a sefer called the Sefer HaChaim. And he also wrote a very interesting sefer called the Igeres HaTiyul. Where does a person go on a Tiyul? A person is mitayel in a pardes. Tiyul b'pardes is an expression that you find in Sfarim for walking through the orchard of Torah. The pardes of Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. So he gave us an Igeres HaTiyul, where he walks us through Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod on different inyanim. And he says a very interesting thing in the Chelek HaRemez, under the letter Shin, for the entry Sheker. He says, Kol hanakudos matzati b'shemos ha'avos v'yimaos ratzalomar. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sar, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Bila, Zilpa. The Jewish people are a nation of MS. And therefore, take a look. In the names of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Bila, Zilpa, you will not find the Nakuda, the Shuruk. You won't find the Shuruk. You'll find all the other Nakudas. Now in the footnote, he says, hold on a second, you don't find the Segol either. He says, that's not a problem, because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Segol. The Am Segula. The three pronged Avram Yitzchak Yaakov of Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferes, that is the Segel. That's the Merkava of Segel. Okay. But you don't find the Shuruk. Why don't you find the Shuruk? Because Shuruk is the same letters as Sheker. And Hashem didn't want even a trace of Sheker to get mixed in. To what? To the building of Klal Yisrael. That none of the Avos of the Imos should have the Shuruk, the Nakuda, the Shuruk, as part of their name. Not only that, look what he says in the last line. Second to last line, V'chein v'pasuk rishon shel Bereishis. Unbelievable. The first pasuk of Torah, the foundation of Torah, Bereishis bara Elokim, Eisa Shemayim ve'Eisa Aretz. You'll find all the Nekudos except for the Shuruk. Why? Because Shuruk is Sheker. We can't have something that even hints to Sheker in the opening pasuk of Chumash. Lahagi shekol Torah's emes v'rachokim in hasheker. Rabbeinu Bachai brings the same thing in his Kara Kemach encyclopedia, a very beautiful insight that there's no shuruk in the foundation of the Torah, because the Torah is a Torah's emes, and the Jewish people are a people of emes. So you're not going to find any trace of sheker. Yeah.
What if I can name
What is the source? I'm not sure what the source is. The Zohar Kadosh, talks about the significance of the names. That's where he's basing this off of. But what was the source? Who do we attribute the names to? I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay. Every other time there's a shuruk, we have to investigate and think. Maybe there's a trace of some sheker there.
Shuruk is the
three dots on an angle.
Never under MS. Like.
Okay, MS is look. MS is all. Right, it's all segel. Sam segula. Okay, fine. Now we explained, even though you guys gave me a hard time, we explained for every Yehuda's son why the Torah begins with base. We explained why the first pasuk has no shuruk. We explained how Yaakov plus Moshe has gematria kushtakai and titen emes li Yaakov and Moshe emes v'saraso emes. We're building a beautiful world of truth that we're trying to live by. What we need to explain now is what happened to the poor Aleph, right? You were worried. Everyone's worried about the Aleph, the poor Aleph. Is the Aleph a letter of sheker? The Aleph is, what do you mean? Aleph is the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That can't be a letter of falsehood. And after all, the Torah does begin with Aleph. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. V'yaseres Adibros. That's where Torah, in a certain sense, really begins. Of course not, but in a certain sense, that's where Torah really begins. And what about Torah Sheval Peh? Is Torah Sheval Peh also MS? So if you look on page 6, the Chedushei Arim wrote a sefer called the Sefer HaZchus. And in the Sefer HaZchus, in his writings on Maseches Brachos, he brings another interesting remez. Okay? Another interesting remez. L'anias Daiti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hinted to the truth of our Torah in the following fashion. Aseres Adibros, the first thing Hashem ever said to Klal Yisrael, as the nation of Klal Yisrael, was the word Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Aleph. The first letter of Mishnayos, Me'em Asai Koren Es Shema, Mem. The first letter of Gemara, Tana Hecha Kai, Tav, says the Chidush Erim, Emes. Emes. Aseres Adibros begin with an Aleph, Mishnah begins with a Mem, Gemara begins with a Tav. Rosh Devarcha Emes, the Pasuk says in Mishlei. Rosh Devarcha Emes. The beginning of your words are Emes. The beginning of your words at our Sinai, Anochi. The beginning of your word through the Mishnah, Me'emesai. The beginning of your word in the Gemara, Tana, Tana Hechakai, Tav, Emes. Rosh Devarcha Emes. So the Torah is Emesh Mamesh through and through. Arkan, the Chelik of the Remes of today's Shir. Okay, but now let's talk about Derech Avoda. There's a famous story about the Rebbe Reb Melech of Lezhensk and his brother Reb Zusha. When's Reb Melech's Yahrzeit?
Today.
Okay, Zuchus Yogan Aleinu. So in the memory and as an act of Akar Satov, we're going to try to learn a piece from Reb Melech now to have a deep appreciation for the truth that Reb Melech was fighting for. And the truth that we have to fight for, that's the point of today's shir. The Ramazim are very nice. But the bottom line is, we live in Alma de Shikra, and you need to fight to be emistic. So let's fight to be emistic. Here's the story that's brought in many Svarim, on page 7, the Oel Eli Melech, which is a collection of stories and teachings from Rav Melech of Lezhensk, the Rebbe Rav Melech of Lezhensk. One time, Rav Zusha asked his brother the following question. He said, Rav Melech, I don't understand. We know that all of the neshamos of history were present in the soul of Adam Arishon. We were all there. When Adam ate from the tree, we were all there. You and I were there. So Reb Zusha said to his brother, his dear brother, Reb Elimelech Lezhensk, he said, I don't understand. So if we were there, why didn't we stop Adam? Why didn't we stop Adam from eating from the tree? We know better than to eat from the tree, than to listen to the Nachash. The Nachash is the embodiment of Sheker. Why didn't we stop Adam? We could have stopped him, no? So listen to what Reb Melech said. In the bottom paragraph on page 7. Hey Shavlo HaRebbe Reb Elimelech. Achi, my dear brother. Halo Achrachnu La'aniach HaSolecho. We had to let Adam eat. Because we can't show the lie of the Nachash unless we let Adam stumble. What does that mean? If Adam doesn't mess up, what does he think forever? Maybe the snake is right. Maybe if we eat from the tree, our eyes will be opened. Maybe we could turn it to God also if we eat from the tree. And you live with that dimyon, that falsehood forever. So said Rav Melech, better Adam should just mess up and realize he's human and realize he's not God. And then from that point forward, we'll realize, look how dangerous it is to fall for a lie. Look how careful a person has to be. Better Adam should stumble now and not live forever, thinking that maybe the Nachash is telling the truth. Lezos mochach hayalech, liros afal pisha achal, hurak Adam velo yoser. The man should learn a lesson the hard way. Yeah. What do you mean?
Say, don't say,
yeah, it could have gone straight to the Olam HaTikun, perhaps.
That's more of a visual episode. So I wouldn't have doubts.
Okay. I hear. They wanted to expose the lie of the Nachash. They felt it was worth it to stumble, to allow Adam to stumble, to face the facts. I hear what you're saying. Yeah?
It's not like how we should think of things, though. Like, we shouldn't say, like, oh, let's do this bad thing.
No, of course not. But humanity had to learn the hard way. That there are going to be forces in the world that are trying to lie to you and trying to send you down. So fall hard once and never fall again. So man had to fall hard. We have to what?
I'm saying we shouldn't do that because other.
No, we have to identify falsehood and expose it, not by stumbling in it, by calling it out. Right? Meaning, the question was, why didn't they stop? Why didn't they hold Adam back from eating? The answer is, Adam needs to mess up. Adam needs to know what happens when a person is living a lie. Look how detrimental it is. Look how destructive it can be. And now, hopefully, for the rest of time, we can try to be, you know, smart enough not to succumb to the lure of the Nachash. Yeah.
It seems from like a lot of these sources that the way we know emes is through shek.
They're opposites.
Like meaning, read it like from this source. Would you say that we're saying that like we have to say that we're going to really know what emes is? Emes is like,
right, you can't know emes until you've encountered sheker. Until you see how destructive sheker is, you can't appreciate how valuable emes is. Okay, I hear that. Okay, all right. Turn to page 8. The highest midah in the world, like we said at the beginning, Shem Yishmur told us the midah that's the briach haticho, the central beam in the spiritual makeup of a Jew is the midah of emes. Turn to page 8, the Imre Pinchas. Rav Pinchas Koritzer had a Talmud whose name was Rav Rafal of Birshat. Now throughout the Imre Pinchas from Rav Pinchas Koritzer, it's not only teachings from Rav Pinchas Koritzer, but it's teachings from his Talmidim. So in the Shar Emes Ve'emuna, you can see the paragraph that I boxed off for you. You see at the end it says, Mimoreinu HaRav Rabbeinu Rafal. That was Rav Rafal of Birshat. Rav Rafal of Birshat again was a Rebbe and a Talmud Mufak of Rav Pinchas of Koritz. Rav Pinchas of Koritz passed away in 1791, and Rav Rafal of Birshat passed away in 1826, just to give you like a little context to when this was. Rav Rafal of Birshat was known for his midah of emes she'en kamo. He was emes thing. I'm going to show you in a second how. He was very, very emes-tic. So the fact that he's saying this vart is mamish hu haya omer. He was this vart. Emes kenei va'al timkor. It says in Mishlei, acquire truth and do not sell it. Do not sell it at all costs. Look what he says. Ki kol hamidos tovos sarach lefamim limkor achas mam lefisha. You know, sometimes you have to negotiate with midos. Sometimes you have to negotiate. Kedei liknos mido tova acheres. Like the Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, that if you're too extreme in one way, so go to the other side, go to the opposite side to balance yourself out. When it comes to emes, we don't negotiate with emes. There's no such thing as relative emes. Emes is emes. So he says the following, where it's underlined: Aval b'midas ha'emes ein okein she'ein l'machro mipnei kinyan shumida. We don't trade emes for anything. Well, compromise my emes a little bit to get something else. We don't trade emes. Why don't we trade emes? He gives us a very good svara. Why we don't trade emes? We don't trade emes because if a person is notem in emes, if a person moves away from emes, how is he supposed to know that he was kona eza mida tova? Without emes, how do I judge anything? If I'm not emesdik, how do I know anything? How do I know anything? How do I know anything that I'm doing is correct? So you'll say, well, I compromise emes to do this mitzvah. If you don't have the meat of emes, how do you know it's a mitzvah? Maybe it's a trick of the Yetzer Hara and it's really an avera. You need emes as the glasses, so to speak, to see, to analyze everything that you do. How do I know if my tefillah is emes? How do I know if my chesed is emes? How do I know if the way I'm living my life is emes if I don't have the meat of emes? So if I'm going to trade emes for anything in the world, I'm going to enter into a world of confusion. And therefore, emes kneval timkor. Never trade emes. Shema hu sheker, umetas asmo. Maybe it's a lie and you're falling for it. You need emes as the prism, as the medium by which you judge everything else. This is what Rav Farl Bershad explained in the pasuk in Mishlei. Emes kneva al timkor. Never trade, never sell emes. So you'll tell me why. The Gemara says sometimes you can lie for the sake of peace. Right? You can bring me an endless number of examples of where we do compromise emes. Sometimes we do have to. And what do you mean emes is absolute? There's relative emes. Beis Hillel was emes. Shammai was emes lamito. There's relative emes. There's levels within emes. But by Rav Bershad, he said, no, there's just emes. There's just emes. Real emes, there's no levels within emes. Emes is emes. Now, let me show you just how much Rav Bershad was an ish emes. On page 9, Rav Shmuel Valkin, who is the son of Rav Aaron Valkin, who died al Kiddush Hashem. What did you say? No, not Rav Samuel Valkin. Rav Shmuel Valkin. Rav Shmuel Valkin. Okay? Rav Shmuel Valkin was the son of Rav Aaron Valkin, who was the author of the Shalos and Tshuvos Zakan Aaron. It's an important sefer. So he wrote a sefer on Chumash called Ramat Shmuel. Look what he writes in Chayisah. When Rivka goes to give water to Eliezer, look at the truth of the Avos and the Imos. There's no shuruk in their name. There's no trace of sheker. So she finished giving Eliezer to drink. V'tomer, gam, she says to him, gam ligmalecha eshov, adim kilu lishtos. I'm going to draw water for the camels until they're done drinking. When she drew water for Eliezer, she said, I'm going to draw water for you to drink. Here, when it comes to the camels, first she just says what? Gam ligmalecha eshov. For the camels, I'm going to draw water. Why doesn't she say, I'm going to give them to drink? Says the Abarbanel, V'isbonin sha'eved omar, V'gam ligmalecha ashke. He said, give the camels to drink. And she said, for the camels, I will draw water. Why didn't she say, I'll give the camels to drink? Does she know for sure the camels are going to drink? She doesn't know. Maybe the camels aren't thirsty. So her mid of emes was so precise, she didn't even want to say, I'm going to give the camels to drink. She just said, I'm going to draw the water. Ratzalomar, eini yodas im yishtu im lo. But I'll draw the water. That's what Abarbanel says, the diuk in Rivka's words. That she's so precise, she doesn't want to say, I'm going to give the camels to drink. What if they don't want to drink? Then my words aren't true. That's the precision, that's the sensitivity of Koach HaDibur, of Dibur Emes, with which the Avos and the Imos lived. Says Rav Shmuel Valkin, Umaisa Avos v'Imos Simon Labanim, Lelamed ad kama tzricha lios hazehiros b'dibur. Look how careful a person needs to be to speak words of Emes. The fact that the Abarbanel even caught this diuk shows what an ish Emes he must have been. And he says, I'll tell you a story about who? Look, Rav Rafal Bershad. Rav Rafal Bershad, look, Hevra. He would not say a word that was possibly untrue. Let me show you how far he took it. When he would walk in from his house, sopping wet because it's raining outside, and they said to him, oh, is it still raining? You know, maybe it stopped raining, you're still wet, you were traveling for 5 miles, and it rained the first mile. right? And now it stopped. Now let's say it was still raining. So what's the normal response? Yes, it's still raining. I just walked in 2 seconds ago, and it was raining 2 seconds ago. You know what he used to say? When I was outside, it was raining. It's probably still raining. It was raining half a second ago. It's probably still raining. He was so scared. Like, what if it just stopped? And I said, yes, it's raining outside, and it's not raining outside. Then I'm not connected to Yaakov and to Moshe and to the Avos, to the Imos, to the Torah Emes. That's how crazy he was about the Midah of Emes. It's unbelievable, no? And that's why it's so fitting that someone like Rav Rafael Bershak could say, Emes Kneva Al Timkor. We don't trade Emes for anything in the world. It's the shorish of our people. It's the way we fight off the most vicious gullus, the gullus of Edom, the world of Esav. Now I brought along, you don't have it in front of you, but I brought along, I printed out, an 8-page article, which obviously I'm not going to read right now, from the Torah Journal called Tradition, from 2007, an article by Schneer Z. Lyman. Anyone know who Schneer Z. Lyman is? You heard of him? Schneer Z. Lyman, also known sometimes by his English name, Sid Lyman, is a great, awesome Jewish scholar from person. Very, very interesting person. He taught in Brooklyn College for 30 years. Retired a couple years ago. You can check out his website, LymanLibrary.com. LEIMAN. And he wrote in Tradition, in 2007, the Rabbinical Council of America's journal, he wrote an essay called Rav Rafael of Bershad's Commitment to Truth. And last night when I was preparing this year, I remembered that he had written this article. I remember I had seen it one time. Because there was something very... Why did I remember it? I remember it because he did something very, very clever. Let me just read to you the beginning and the end, okay? Rav Rafael of Bershad was a Hasidic master, most famous for his commitment to truth. The outstanding disciple of and successor of Pinchas of Korus, he instilled in the hearts of his listeners the teachings he inherited from his teacher. These included the shunning of anything that smacked of arrogance and the unswerving commitment to speak truthfully and never lie. So much so that when he came in from the rain, like we just saw. An itinerant preacher in Podolia, which is today southern Ukraine, his base of operations was Bershad, a shtetl southwest of Uman. Okay? Now, what Dr. Schneer Z. Lyman does here is he tells a story about the death of Rav Rafael of Bershad. And he tells four different versions of it. And the four versions are mutually exclusive. They're all different. Meaning what? Meaning several of the versions that he presents in these pages are not emes. Are not emes. About the death of Rav Rafael of Bershad. He's pointing out the irony how in Hasidic tales sometimes, right, when you're telling over a Hasidic Maisa, it's very important to speak emes, especially if you're talking about what? The life of Rav Rafael of Bershad. To tell false stories about Rav Rafael of Bershad, that's the joke he's writing here. To tell false stories about Rav Rafael of Bershad is the greatest crime. Because this was the ultimate Ishamas. So he writes at the end of the article, this last version and the first three accounts of Rafael's death are mutually exclusive. In account number 4, unlike the first three accounts, Rafael of Bershad was not threatened by the need to swear falsely, did not pray for death, and died either naturally or due to an epidemic, as opposed to the other versions of his Petira, which are a whole long Hasidic Shemaisis. The precise circumstances that led to the death of Rafael of Bershad will probably never be recovered. Where he died, when he died, the precise circumstances of his death will remain matters of scholarly dispute. But Rav Rafael's lifelong commitment to truth is hardly a matter of dispute. Here, all the accounts are in accord with each other. Meaning, of all the different nuschaos in this Rebbe's tale about Rav Rafael, the one thing that shines through in all four accounts is that what? That Rav Rafael Bershad was an Ish Emes. His lifelong commitment to truth can only serve to inspire those of us who too often find it difficult to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Nope. So we have to try to be a little bit more like the great Rebbe Rav Rafael Bershad, who was so attached to Emes, because he understood it's the shorish of being Yid. It's the shorish of the Avos, the Imos, of Yaakov, of Moshe, of Torah, of the whole Bria. Hashem created the world to start with a Beis, because the Kodesh Baruch wanted each day to represent a certain Emes. Okay? Let me just show you in contemporary times, and there's so many stories I could tell of tzaddikim who pursued Emes. I'll just share it outside on page 10. But in the Shimush Shel Torah, Rav Shach's grandson wrote over stories that Rav Shach used to tell. He told the following story about Rav Aaron Cutler. Now, just to play off of Schneerzy Lyman's Hara, that when you talk about people who are emistic, it's important to tell emistic stories. Happens to be, I saw in a different sefer the exact same story that we're about to read about Rav Aaron. I saw the exact same story about one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Slobodka. So, does that mean one of the stories is not emes? Or maybe they were both emes and the same thing happened twice? I don't know. I have to do a little research on it. But here's the mice of the Rav Aaron Cutler. This is unbelievable. And again, you might think, it's so silly. Why are they so crazy? Why are they acting so uptight? No one's going to like, it's not a big deal. But if emes is emes, then it's emes. So listen to the story. When Rav Aaron built Lakewood, they wanted to make up a book for people who gave donations that they should get a receipt. So they had someone design this booklet, and on the booklet there was a picture of the yeshiva. And alongside the yeshiva, they drew a picture, as was true, of trees. Because outside the yeshiva, there were these trees in front of the yeshiva. There were three trees on one side, and two trees on the other side. No, the person was designing the booklet, he wanted to make it look good. So he decided to do three trees on each side. Three trees on each side, in the picture. Right? Happens to be the actual yeshiva had three trees on one side and two trees on the other side. Yeah? Rav Aaron brought it to Rav Aaron. They thought, it looks so nice. They paid good money to have someone, you know, graphic design. And Rav Aaron looks at it and he says, we have to destroy this right away. He said, well, what are you talking about? He said, we can't use this. We have to redo it. We have to redo the whole thing. Why? What? What's the problem? He said, look at this picture. I said, no, yeah. He said, that's not what we have by the yeshiva. We have three trees on one side, two trees on the other side. I said, yeah, but, you know, Rebbe, we just, for the sake of style, we balanced it out. He drew three trees on each side. Rav Aaron said, take a look at the last two lines where it's underlined, on page 10. Ani bone yeshiva yesodos shel emes. If you understand how much emes I'm trying to put into this yeshiva, eineni rotze shemashu sheker yisarev biyesod yeshiva. I don't want even a shred of sheker to get mixed into the foundation of our yeshiva. You might say, the nekudos of the names of the avos, the imos, the first pasuk of the chumash has no shuruk, which is osios sheker. Right? Maybe it's too much, but the answer is no. If the Jewish people understood that emes is the ticket to geula, and it's the way that we overcome an esav. I was talking to someone yesterday about davening. Frustrations in davening. Why are tefillos sometimes not answered? You know why? Because our tefillah is not emes. Because we're echad v'pen, we're echad v'lev. Turn to page 11. Yeah. Emes, yeah. Yeah, there's multiple ramazim in the first pasuk of emes. There's a ramaz to emes even before that. Bereshis, bara, elokim. So kateh was emes. Ah, but it's not in order. That's what I'm talking about. Because emes doesn't come right away. Emes sometimes you have to see in reverse. You don't see emes. Right? The seal of Hashem is emes. You put a seal, if you stamp it down, you have to put it backwards in order to come out right when you stamp it. They talk about it. Yes, there's a lot of real Muslim to emes in the first pasuk of the Torah. Because Torah is emes. A person davens and he's not answered. Says the Avodas Pnim on page 11 and 12. Kol masha adam mevakesh mi Hashem yisparach be'emes. Chaver, listen carefully. Al derech avoda. 2 more minutes and we're done. Whatever a person asks for be'emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers. That's a guarantee. Ki zeh midaso shel Hashem yisparach. Hashem is shomeya tfilas kol peh. Hashem listens to what every mouth says, but he's oneh Lekor of Be'emes. Hashem will always listen to you. You shouldn't think any tefillah is in vain. But if you daven an emistic tefillah, like we learned last week, the same way that Haman said straight to Ahasuerus what he wants, and Hashem Yishmuel told us we have to talk straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we daven emes, mamish emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer you. The mitzvahs we do in this world, Tzchar Mitzvah Bahaya Amaleka, you're not guaranteed to get reward for mitzvahs in this world. But when a Jew says straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to be answered. Ah, says the Avodah Pnim on the top of page 12. Sometimes we daven and we feel that we're not answered. He says it's for one of two reasons. Ha'alif, she'pa'amim sha'adna ba'atma eina rotsu be'emes es bakashaso. Sometimes you say something, but you don't mean it. When you daven this morning, and you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to help you to have Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and to be successful in Torah Right? Did you mean it? Now, you might be offended by that question. Of course I meant it. In my heart of hearts, who doesn't want those things? But it's like the B'nai Sas, it's like the P.S. Esner writes in Tzav Vezirus. That sometimes a person, you ask a person, do you want to be a tzaddik? Of course I want to be a tzaddik. Yeah? So why aren't you doing things that lead to becoming a tzaddik? So you obviously don't want to be a tzaddik. No, but of course I would. Yeah, you want, like in a theoretical sense, without any effort, to be a tzaddik. As long as it doesn't come at any cost for anything else you want to be. So you theoretically want to be a tzaddik. When you daven, half the time we're asking Hashem for things, but we're asking in this way that we don't even really believe what we're asking for. We're not begging Hashem that Hashem should help me to like learning Gemara. We're not doing that. Now, if we don't love learning Gemara, we should be. But there's a part of us that we're fine. We don't care that we don't like learning Gemara. It's fine. I don't really care that much. I'll learn something else. So why don't I have to fight Hashem? Why don't I have to beg Hashem? I have to cry over Shmoneh Esrei. Hashem, help me to love your Torah. Help me to have more Yiras Hashem. I don't want more Yiras Hashem. I like doing what I like to do. I don't want to walk around like the Brisker Rav, always like uptight that, you know, Yiras Chet before my eyes. I like living a more chilled out life. So every time I daven and I say, Hashem, Tein Bili Beinu Yira, I don't really mean that. I don't want to have the Yiras Hashem that the Rambam lived with. Ki Yadua, the Sipur of the person who got a taste of the Rambam's Yiras Hashem and couldn't handle it for a second. So says the Vodas Pnim. So a person sometimes he davens to Hashem, but he doesn't really mean it. He's davening for things in Ruchnias, but he doesn't really. When he davened for Gashmias that he should get the job, the day he had the job interview, that was a tefillah b'emes. But the whole system of communication is not emistic, because he's not really, his lips are not clean; they're not speaking emes. The ein who atzma wrote to bezek kol kach, he doesn't really want it. He doesn't want Avodas Hashem the same way he wants life and children and parnasa. Ukamoshimatzinu barachel imenu. When Rachel says, "Im ayin mesa anochi," if I don't have kids, I'm as good as dead. That's emes. When Haman says, "Kol ze inenu shoveli," that was emes. That's why he can emor lemelech, like we learned last week. To say it straight, shazenikra ratzon bechalos hanefesh. To say, my life is worthless without this. Hashem, if you don't help me to love you and to fear you and to serve you, then my life is nothing. If you talk like that to Hashem and you mean it, you'll get it. If you cry over it, you'll get it. If you're willing to fight for it, be'emes, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give it to you. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Karov Hashem L'chol Karov L'chol Asher Yikru'u be'emes. You have to talk emes with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emes is not an easy midah to acquire. I'll just end. Emes is a lifetime of work. The Chiddushei Arim said about himself, I have to be careful that I don't speak falsehood now, because I didn't get a chance to look it up and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it in my notes, but I remember seeing once the Chiddushei Arim said he spent either 13 or 14 years just trying to work solely on the midah of Emes. 13 years, that was his sole focus. That was the midah he was working on more than anything. Emes. It's a lifetime of work. A person has to know that you have to just keep pursuing Emes and keep pursuing Emes and trying to be a little more emesthic every day. My tefillah should be more Emes. My conversations with my friends and my spouse and my children and my parents and everyone around me should be more emesthic. And when I learn Torah, I should do it in a more emesthic way. And the greatest sign of a person who's not emesthic is the person who thinks he's emesthic. If you think you've acquired Emes, the ultimate midah, that's a sign that there's an element of sheker that's gotten the better of you. In the Amshin of Rebbe's Yemos Olam on page 13, he brings from Rav Shimon Skernovitzer. Rav Shimon Skernovitzer said, "Ein lecha ish hasheker yoser mimish omersh shainu ish emes." There's no a person who thinks he's emesthic, a person who's convinced that he's gotten there, he's perfected the hardest midah, the all encompassing midah. That's the greatest sign of a person who's sheker. So you have to keep working at. Keep trying to be a little more emistic. To be echad b'peh, right? And to be the same in the heart. That it shouldn't be echad b'peh v'echad b'leiv. That it should be the same, the peh and the leiv should align with one another. To be able to talk straight. To come to the Pesach Seder, a night of what? Of Diburim, and to speak Diburei Emes. And I'll conclude with a blessing from Rav Chaim Palagi, the great Svardi Chacham. Rav Chaim Palagi writes in his Nefesh Chaim, under the entry for Geula, he quotes the Smag, "The Iker HaGeula Tluya Kishri Yisrael Midabrim Emes. Velo Yimtza Befiem Lashon Tarmit. A Jew talks Emes. Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim. Kolamar Belisapa Hareza Meshubach. It's the night where what? Where we talk a lot, but make sure you come to the Seder night ready to speak Emes. Make sure that when you talk about leaving Mitzrayim, Chayav Adam Liras is Atma, you really feel it as you're connected to it. Not just something that you have questions about. That you really, you're living it. That you're mamish living it. That the Peh and the Lev should align. That's why at the end of the night we can say Shira Shirim. At the end of the Seder night, if we spoke straight with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that means engaging hard things and engaging positive things. But now I'm getting serious about Torah, and I'm not just saying that Hashem, I mean it for real. Right? When the Peh and the Lev align, that's when you come to Shira Shirim. I don't want to get into it fully now, but the Svarim say there are 117 psukim in Shira Shirim. Peh plus Lev is Gematria 117. I saw once in a footnote in the Sefer to the Rachamei Av. When the Peh and the Lev are connected, when it's not Echad B'Peh V'Echad B'Lev, when the Peh and the Lev are connected, then Shira Shirim. Then you can really say to Hashem what you really want to say. You can mamish, you can talk in a very intimate way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Hashem says, I know, you're not just sweet-talking me. You're not just trying to convince me to get things from me. You're talking to me because you really love me. And that's what we're building up to the whole Seder night. So therefore, says Rav Chaim Palagi, the Geula, in the name of the Smag, Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, is dependent on honest speech. V'zeli Pashut Maimer Chabakuk Hanavi. Now, Rabosa, I can't end the Shir of MS by not telling you the MS. This pasuk is not from Chabakuk. Rav Chaim Palagi made a little mistake here. It's from Sefer Yeshayah in Perek Samach Gimel. The pasuk says, "Vayomer ach ami heima banim lo yishakeru, vayehi lehem lemoshiach." If the Jewish people would just be children who are not liars, then we'd have salvation. We'd have the Geula. Jump down to the end of that paragraph. He quotes from Shira Shirim Perek Dalin, "Iti mi Livanon kala." Iti mi Livanon tavoi. He says, "Iti mi Livanon tavoi." Is Rashi Tevos Emes. Tishuri me Rosh Amana. Is Rashi Tevos Emes. If a person could come to Shir HaShirim, he comes to a Nekud of Emes, of a reunification with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he says in the final paragraph, Habei Yamin Re'eh, Da'al Yedei, when a person speaks Diburim of Sheker, Hu Goreim HaGalos. Every time that we're living a lie, we're allowing the Alma D'Shikra, Kina Taiva Kavod Gematria Sheker. If you're drowning in lies, if you're living a dimyon, if you're not being straight about your own Yetzer Haras and working on them, if you're not davening be'emes, if you're not learning be'emes, if your whole life is minasafa v'lachutz, like Esav, who puts out, like the pig, who puts out its hoof and says, look, I'm so from, but on the inside is rotten. So then a person is gorim the galus, he causes galus to continue. U'lehafich maruba midatova, shal yedei shemedabrim emes, Cheirus Mishibur Malchus. We achieve freedom. V'zeh yepshat hakosuv. That's what it says in Sefer Daniel. V'sashlich emes artza. V'asa v'hitzlicha. When emes is thrown to the ground, we don't care about emes. Then what? Asa v'hitzlicha. Kishamashlichin emes la'aretz. Miyad Malchus harasham miskaberes. Then Malchus Edom gets the better of us. But if we can be emestic, not like the pig, not like Esav, not like Amalek, not like any of the exiles that this Golus is representing, is all-encompassing. And we stick to the Torah's Emes, and to Yaakov, and to Moshe, and to the Avos, and to Bereshis Bar Elokim. We can attach ourselves to some of these ideas, and to dive into Hashem be'emes, that Emir Hashem will come to the Seder night. It'll be a night of Geula. It'll be going straight from the Purim Geula to the Pesach Geula. Right? So Mech Geula, Geula. We'll be zochah to go back to Eretz Yisrael with the Binyan Beis Hamikdash from here. Be Amenu.